Jack is the homecoming king, Claire feels under the weather, and Juliet fills out an application for Celebrity Mole. Executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse join us to point out why this episode rocked in today's official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. Welcome to the podcast for Catch-22, which airs Wednesday, April 18th from 10 to 11 p.m. on ABC and the next day at ABC.com. We'll have executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse here in a bit to reveal why is Catch-22 and other preponderous questions inspired by its novel title. Of course, they'll also be rehashing last week's Turn of the Screw, One of Us, and discussing just who the us might be referring to. First up, though, we're joined by actor M.C. Gainey, whose character on Lost has had many names, Mr. Friendly, Zeke, Bluebeard, and most recently, Tom. Okay, guys, welcome to the official Lost podcast. We're here today with M.C. Gainey, who plays Mr. Friendly, a.k.a. Tom. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
So I wanted to start off by asking you, I guess you actually know executive producer Carlton Cuse from a previous show.
I do. He wrote and produced a Western called Briscoe County, The Adventures Of. And I was a character called Big Smith on there. And that's where I met him and fell in love with the way the man writes.
Well, so what was that conversation like when he approached you to be part of Lost?
It was very brief. I said, you know, Carlton, I spent 10 years getting away from television. The grind of television was wearing me down. I'm just doing movies now. But if it's you, I'll do it, not knowing what I was getting into. I just, I went to Hawaii without a script, without any idea who the character was. And here I am 3 years later, and I'm still not quite sure who he is.
Well, the first time you showed up on the show was so iconic when you kidnapped Walt.
Oh yeah, out of the clear blue, this friendly bearded sort of sailor who's the rescuer turns out to be something loathsome and horrible. The off season was really tough on me because everywhere I went, people just were giving me dirty looks and they were like, "What are you going to do with that boy?" They were assuming I was going to do something horrible, of course.
And how much do you know about your character at that point? Did you even know what his name was?
Let me give you an example of how little I knew about that character. Let's take it on halfway through the second season. I'm running through the jungle barefooted, bearded, wearing ragged clothes. I get the script, and it says, "They found my beard in a locker." It was only at that moment that I realized it's a fake beard. I've been running around half the season, and I didn't even know I was wearing a fake beard.
So when we first met you then as an actor, was that actually your real beard?
No. I'm just saying, no, it was a fake beard all along. I mean, I knew that it was a fake beard. M.C. Gainey knew it was a fake beard. But I didn't, the character, I thought I really was a guy in the jungle who had a beard, not a guy in the jungle who was wearing a fake beard.
Well, talk about that a little bit more. How much like your character or unlike your character are you? Are you afraid of blood?
Oh, I'm nothing like this character. I mean, I should say I can't speak. I can speak pretty cogently about who I am, but in terms of who this character is, I can't. I don't really know that I'm much like Mr. Friendly or Tom, as they call him, or Zeke, or any of the other names they call him. He seems to be very loyal, and I'm a very loyal person, so I have that in common. But other than that, I don't really know what he's about. He seems much more socially awkward than I am. In the surgery scene where I introduce myself to him, and by the way, I'm Tom, there was just so much awkwardness in that. That would never be me, but that's Tom.
Now, one thing that I have noticed about your career looking back, and at IMDb and other sources, is that you seem to have a propensity for playing bad guys.
Yeah, I know. It's just an honest face. What can I tell you? I got to Hollywood in 1977 and from the regional theater, and I played most of the great roles in plays, the O'Neill canon, the Williams canon. And I got here, and they took one look at me and said, "Yeah, give him a gun." And, that was pretty what it was for a long time. In those days, every TV show on primetime had to have a gang of bad guys every week, another gang. It was T.J. Hooker, Simon & Simon, Dukes of Hazzard, the A-Team, Knight Rider. You know, all those shows required a fresh gang of thugs and goons every week. So I did a lot of good work in the goon and thug department for a few years there.
Well, what's the strangest role that you've played? Have you played anything non-thuggish?
The strangest role I've ever played, hands down, was the naked man in Sideways.
That's an image.
that's the same. If you've seen Sideways, I was the naked man who ran through the streets of Lompoc, California. That was strange.
So who do people recognize you more from now? Are they like, oh my God, you're the naked guy in Sideways?
No. I would have to say that if it's not Lost, it is Con Air.
Interesting.
That I'm most recognized for. Con Air apparently is a film that has been seen by every adult male and female in our society in the last two generations.
Well, getting back to Lost, though, how has people's reaction to you changed now that Tom has been on a little bit longer and we saw him playing football with Jack? And, you know, he may just be a nice guy caught up in a bad situation.
Yeah, you know what? The attitude, strangely enough, the attitude people had toward me in the beginning when I kidnapped Walt was one of fear and what are you going to do? But after the campfire scene in the second year, when I told them, stay on your beach and you'll be okay, ever since then, I think Tom's been sort of a benevolent character. And the public they've been very, very friendly about it. You know, they haven't given me a hard time since then, except that they want to know what's going to happen. And, that maybe I've just been around so long. And also, since I took off the beard, I mean, I really haven't done that much to people. You know, I'm conversational. When I had them in the cages, locked in the cages, I never put a hose on them or hit them with a stick. You know, I mean, I really have been trying to go the other way. I mean, before I knew the character's name was Mr. Friendly, I was still trying to be friendly because somebody on the island should be.
Or is it just that you're trying to keep your character from getting killed off?
No, actually, that wouldn't work. It doesn't matter. if you take the attitude that you're going to try to keep from being killed, you will certainly be killed. And you know what? When you get killed on this show, you're still coming back 10 more times. So getting killed is no big deal. I've been killed so many times on TV. Sometimes I think I was born to be killed there.
Do you keep a running tally? How many times
have
you been killed?
I don't. I used to. 25 years ago, I used to. I've been shot, stabbed, electrocuted, burned alive, hanged, poisoned, stabbed with spears, shot with arrows, blown up with dynamite, killed in snow sled slides. There are very few ways I have them. In fact, Carlton killed me on Briscoe County by throwing me off a moving train over a bridge into a river. But in true Carlton Cuse fashion, I had an orb from outer space in my arms when I went off the train, and I came back from the dead with superpowers.
Strangely enough.
Carlton Cuse is that for you.
Well, on that note, final question. What exactly does MC stand for? Is it Mr. Cool, Michael?
No, you know what's really funny? If you look on Wikipedia and IMDb, it actually has my wrong name. Somebody put the wrong name on there. I didn't put it on there. It stands for my first two names, Mike Connor. Mike Connor was the first Irish governor of the state of Mississippi, and I was named after him, good Irish boy from Mississippi. And when I joined Screen Actors Guild in 77, they wouldn't let me be Mike Connor Gainey because Mike Connors was still around doing Mannix. So I just thought I would use my initials, never realizing that MC would become the most popular cultural initials of our generation.
It's true.
Not my generation, your generation. Yeah, so that's what it is for. It stands for Mike Connor.
Well, it could have been worse. You could be DJ Gainey.
You know what? DJ may have been better, actually. May have been better because I've had so many people shocked to see that I was white when I showed up. They'd see the name on a call sheet, and they'd be like, oh, you're MC? Oh, gosh.
That's hilarious.
Who knew? Who knew?
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. And, of course, you can catch MC Gainey in upcoming episodes of Lost. And thank you for joining us on the official Lost podcast.
Sure, thanks. My pleasure. I'll talk to you again.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, welcome to yet another Lost podcast. I'm Carlton Cuse.
And I'm Damon Lindelof.
Well, hi, Damon. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, Carlton. How are you?
I'm good. Let's get right to it today, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's rehash one of us.
We're both feeling a little giddy because we were here late last night, believe it or not, writing the season finale, which will be on the air in about 6 weeks. It's a two-hour season finale, so we will be shooting what is essentially a movie.
Which we have written in about 8 days.
As soon as we're done writing it.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
We've pulled two very late nights, and one more late night tonight ought to get us a draft of the script all the way to the end.
But at least you get to wear your pajamas to work.
That's true.
That's very good. So let's get right to it, because I think we have a lot of exciting questions today, from what I understand.
We do have some good questions today. In the title of the episode, Damon, my beloved, just who is the us referring to?
Wait, back up.
Chris.
Did you write Damon, my beloved?
David, my beloved. See, Chris has now picked up on my propensity to just read his not particularly conversational rehash questions.
Speaking of not conversational, what's the question?
The question is, I think ABC should give Chris a big raise. Wait.
Hold on. What?
I'm just reading what it says here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Damon, what's going on right now with Saeed and Sawyer? They're kind of doubting Jack's trust in Juliet. I mean, do you think it's valid to doubt that trust?
I think Saeed and Sawyer pretty much agree with the rest of America. And, obviously they were right to, because now we have seen that Juliet is, in fact, undercover, doing some sort of mission for Ben. We don't know exactly what it is, but he says see you in a week, so she's up to something, and
she's up to no good.
I think she's up to no good, but I like her. I don't know. I'm very confused.
Sometimes I like her, but other times she gets that kind of look, and it's a very sort of kind of potentially malevolent kind of look that she gets, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that look for my wife sometimes when I come home at 2:30 in the morning and I tell her I'm quote writing the finale.
I think,
barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I think getting a million points on Galaga is definitely worth staying up until 2:30 in the morning. I'm just saying.
The feeling of seeing it go flip over to zero again is something that can't really be described.
We have some really old school video games consoles here in the office, and that is
which is why the first name is the Galaga. Let's talk about Juliet for just one second. We saw some really exciting things last week. Obviously, emotionally, we learned that Ben has basically been keeping her on the island by holding out this promise of curing her sister's cancer, which apparently he's done. But you also see little pieces of her life. We realize she was having an affair with Goodwin. Will we learn any more about that?
I am really hoping that they cover that in another flashback. I'm very engaged.
Meaning you and me. Okay.
Wait, all of a sudden you're going to question us talking about ourselves in the third person?
I think it's a little...
It's a little pretentious?
I wouldn't use the word pretentious as much as I'd use the word confusing.
Yes, well...
Let's start referring to ourselves in the second person.
Okay. How do we do that?
The second person is you, so I really hope you solve that.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to do a Goodwin story in the future.
You are too.
Excellent.
Okay.
Let's stop that now.
Let's stop that now. That's painful. Do you think that Ben actually cured Rachel, or do you think that Rachel just got better on her own?
I'm not so sure Rachel was ever sick in the first place. I mean, what, he hands Juliet a folder, and it's basically here's conclusive proof that your sister's got cancer again? I mean, the guy doesn't have a copy machine or whiteout,
That's true. Maybe she was cured initially, and
she never got sick again.
Who knows? It's very Ben's very manipulative.
But I will say this: every time that we've thought that Ben lied on the island, he actually sort of comes around the end and says, "I wasn't lying. In fact, I was telling the truth." So,
but he does lie sometimes.
I can't. I'm hard pressed to think of a single lie that he's told. Other than that he wasn't an other.
Yeah, other than that.
but that was just a white lie.
And that he was Henry Gale. His name was Henry Gale, and he was from Minnesota.
Yeah, that's probably, we'd qualify up there.
Yeah.
All right, well, One of Us was a good episode. I think a lot of people liked it. And, Juliet is going to be making a lot of interesting moves in the near future, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But next week, we have an episode called Catch 22.
Yes.
And that should be very exciting because it's another Desmond episode, right?
Yes. And I think if it's a Desmond episode, we probably are going to be seeing a few premonitions, aren't we?
Yes. And since Desmond's premonitions almost exclusively seem to focus on Charlie getting killed, we might be getting back to that storyline as well.
Do you think Charlie's going to die?
Do I think?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Do you think Charlie's going to die?
This week?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah. But I'm worried about it. because it would be just like you to make a big deal out of Charlie's death and then have it happen in episode 17.
As opposed to, like, you know, the end of the season somehow.
Right, and that's what happened with Boone in season 1. He died in the 18th episode, so...
That's true. Well, he actually kind of... He kind of... The worst thing happened to him in the 17th episode. That's when the plane fell. I mean, 18th episode was Jack just trying to, you know, put coconut milk in his veins. Or...
Right. Good idea, Jack. And cut his leg off in a baggage...
Why hasn't anybody else had a limb cut off in that baggage cart this year?
I don't know. I think probably you need something to, or a good reason for it. It's just not like, hey, what are you doing today? You want to play golf? No, let's cut off each other's legs.
So here's a question from Chris, our producer. When are we going to get back to the whole pregnant women die on the island question?
Wow, that's an interesting question, Chris. I think we're going to be getting back to that the week after next.
Yeah.
Which just a double pre-hash, in an episode called DOC, which features our favorite Sun and Jin, because we know she's pregnant and she's on the island, so it would feel like that's fairly pertinent information to be dealing with. I will say this about next week's episode, though, about Catch-22, which is something fairly momentous is going to happen.
Oh,
I think you probably were teased about that in the preview from one of us. You saw something was indicated, a rather large and significant happening next week, and
right.
We don't think you'll be disappointed.
Well, there's definitely some good narrative momentum in next week's episode. You guys let us know what you think. But let's get to these questions.
Oh, thank the Lord.
We have so many, so many good questions today.
Shoot, Carlton.
All right. I'm going to start with this one here.
Yeah.
This is under the title Locke's Brother by Little Amiga.
Okay.
Hey, Carlton and Damon, I write you from Spain. I am a big fan of Lost. Congratulations for the show. In Left Behind, we could see the game Mousetrap in the rec room. In Deus Ex Machina, Locke was working in the toy store, and he said that Mousetrap was his favorite game, and that he used to play it with his brother. Questions. Is Locke's brother alive?
Locke's brother?
I'm just asking the question.
Locke's brother. I'll be honest with you, Carlton. I did not know that Locke had a brother. I know he had a foster brother that he's referred to. And my guess is, yes, he's probably still alive and well.
That's okay. My next question.
Yeah. Let's have it.
Is he?
Come on, Carlton. Give it up. This better be as good as...
Is he Locke's
father? I want to know. Should I read it, Carlton?
Is he somebody we already know, like Ben?
No, I mean, he's not. I like this.
When will we learn more about him?
Never.
Oh my God!
I guess I
gotta get some sleep.
I guess we've cleared that up. Can I ask you a question?
I don't know. I'll try. Go ahead.
Was the mud scene with Juliet of importance by Carlton's banjo? Hi, I'm aware that Lost tries as much as it can to avoid meaningless scenes. That's underlined. So how ended the wet, sticky scene with Kate and Juliet and Left Behind on the show? Bears it any real significance, or was it just for the fun of television?
Honestly, there was a... We had a different scene that we were going to put in the show that involved them... having a lot of mud on them, and we had already shot a scene in which they were muddy at the end of the show, and so for continuity purposes, we had to have them slip and fall in the mud. We had sort of an idea, and then we had ultimately what we thought was a better idea about how to sort of execute what went on in that whole sequence when the monster came and hit the fence. Okay, Damon, this is from Miss Diane, one post in the last 90 days. I don't understand the referring to episode. I don't understand the purpose of this filler episode, Carlton and Damon. Could you please explain? I get that now we know how they're connected to the other crash victims. But seriously, what does this have to do with anything? I'm so frustrated. I was so relieved when you went back to the actual storyline the following week. Thoughts? Ideas?
Interesting. Well, expose is actually, I would say, as far as episodes that we've ever done of the show, you know, created a varying degree of fan reaction. Some people say it was the best episode we've ever done, And some people say it was the worst episode we've ever done. Some people say it was filler. Some people say it was amusing. So it's kind of hard to respond to that question other than to say we had an idea for Paolo and Nikki to introduce them. People have been asking us since the beginning what's going on with the castaways in the background. We introduced them. The backlash was instantaneous and unanimous. And we felt that we owed the fans and the viewers of the show expose at least to explain what the original plan was.
You know, we were really proud of it, and I think it, you know, it was a little bit more of an anthology episode for the show, but I think, you know, it's unrealistic in a show that is now 72 episodes in that every episode is going to be, you know, chock full of plot momentum. I mean, I think it's entirely reasonable, and we sort of by necessity have to have episodes that aren't super narratively, you know, propelled.
They're on an island. They are on an island, sitting on a beach. The good news is, for you at least, Nikki and Paolo are in fact buried and dead.
They are not.
And they will not be back until season 7.
They're not reaching out of the ground until the zombie season.
Right.
Here's another thing you can clear up, Damon.
Yeah.
This is from Fasciana A.
Don't even bother.
Yeah, I won't. I recently posted a topic in the pilot in the plot forum regarding something I'd read stating that either Damon or Carlton had said that there was a vital clue in the pilot episode. It turns out this topic has come up several times, but no one could ever cite the source. And now I'm asking definitively, did we all miss something groundbreaking in the pilot? If not, had we at one time missed something that has since been discovered? It would be awesome if you guys could clear this up.
A mystery in the pilot?
Yeah, something. I think this is actually, this must be a false rumor. I honestly can't think that there's anything in the pilot that we haven't addressed that isn't obvious to viewers of the show. There is no sort of embedded, secret, coded, undiscovered clue in the pilot that has not yet been unearthed.
Kind of going down the list of the pilot mysteries that are presented, with the exception of Charlie saying, guys, where are we?
Right.
I think pretty much, you know, you've at least seen what moved the trees, and you know what Locke's secret was, and you know what the source of the French transmission at the end of the episode, you know what Kate did, you know what Sawyer's letter says.
And even if it's a bit of an extrapolation, we know that the Alcatraz Island was a zoology station, and that Sawyer was locked in a polar bear cage, so you at least know that the Dharma Initiative was doing polar bear research, and that the polar bears probably escaped at some point, swam across the channel, and got on the island. So you even know, really, the source of the polar bears, if not necessarily the specific nature of the polar bear research that the Dharma Initiative was doing. Right?
Right.
Okay, so
that's one mystery now.
So that's down. We actually answered. I just wanted one question that was actually going to
make people feel like some sense of definitive conclusion.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I've got another question for you, Carlton. This is one that I've been hearing since last 2 weeks episode, Left Behind, and I think it's a good thing to deal with. Black Smoke Jumping the Fence by Jed Locke. Dear Damon and Carlton, I really like last week's episode, this is a couple weeks ago now, but had major beef with the scene where Juliet and Kate are safe from the black smoke behind the other's fence. Why wasn't it able to go over the fence like Kate, Locke, Saeed, and Rousseau did in Par Avion? Could it not afford those expensive sneakers? Love the podcast, Jed.
It really is, it's kind of, you know, smoke monsters can't jump. I mean, that's kind of basically the bottom line.
Interesting.
And the sonic barrier is something, obviously, that the Dharma Initiative discovered at some point would be an effective way of repelling the smoke monster. And
so it's not very smart, is basically what you're saying.
Well, I don't think it's, you know, even things that are smart have weaknesses.
Right. Well, I'm not entirely sure why it does any of the things that it does. Like, it looked like it was taking pictures of Juliet or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit like sort of reading Echo, wasn't it?
Obviously, it can get vertical because it smashes Echo against all those trees, so there must be something about that fence.
But can it get vertical and completely detach itself from the ground?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Or if it can come out of the ground, why wouldn't it just go under the fence?
It could. Well, it would need a hole to go underneath the fence, perhaps.
Right. I would love to see that story, Carlton. I would love to see the Dharma Initiative trying to figure out how to repel the monster.
I would, too. That would really be awesome.
Too bad we're never going to do that.
Oh, I wouldn't count on that, Damon.
I got something in my eye.
You could actually do that story.
I could?
Yeah.
You mean you could?
Yeah. Exactly.
That would be so
trying to speak in second person, but it'd be really cool. I can't figure that out.
It would really be cool to see the Dharma Initiative in their heyday. But nobody would want to see that because, you know, it has nothing, it would just be filler. It has nothing to do with advancing the storyline. I mean, because it happened so long ago.
I don't know. I'm gonna roll the dice and say you might be seeing a little bit about the Dharma Initiative in their heyday this season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's exciting.
I think it would be really exciting. All right. Damon, yeah. Carlton, big fans of the show here in Canada. Duplane, Duplane 78. And I read a while ago that Lost Video Game is coming out for Xbox 360 this year. First, can you confirm or deny this?
Confirm.
Yeah. Also, not just for Xbox. It'll also be
PS3 and
PC compatible, too. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, we were sitting here with the guys that are making it actually are from Canada. They're from Montreal.
Ubisoft.
And they came down here the other day and they
very impressive.
Did a demo of some of the elements of it. And it's really cool. It's actually going to be really, it's going to be a pretty cool game.
I think so, too. Not as cool as Galaga, but what is? Well, I think that's a lot of questions today.
Okay.
I do want to take one special opportunity to give a shout out to a young man named Travis, who is a greeter at the ArcLight Cinemas, who basically came up to me and actually recognized me and said that he listens to the podcast and loves us, and that his friend would never believe that he saw me. And I said, "Is it that impressive of a thing?" So now, friend of Travis, haha, and you, it's true. Travis saw me at the ArcLight Cinemas. I was going to see Blades of Glory, which was fantastic.
Wow. Cool. Well,
and reminded me of you, Carlton, for various reasons.
Well, I mean, it's because we're going to be taking that ice skating vacation once the season is over. We're going to be touring all the major ice arenas of Europe. So if you miss us on the podcast, you'll be able to find us. We'll be working on our triple Lutz jump.
It'll be worth it just to see the costumes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, guys, and we'll be back next week. Well rested.
Yes, God willing.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for this podcast. Join us again next week for another postmodern installment of the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. We'll have commentary on our next episode, Catch 22, and more. Catch 22 airs Wednesday, April 18th from 10 to 11 p.m. on ABC and the next day at ABC.com.